So the maimer we're going to learn this morning was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Achrei Mos. The year was Tavshim and Vav, which is equivalent to 1986. But this maimer was later edited by the Rebbe and released in honor of the conclusion of Kaddish for the Rebbetzin. It's a very unique maimer. It was said before Chav Peshvat. It was said in 1986. But the maimer was edited and formally released in 1989. So why is it such a unique maimer? So as a rule, the koteret, the opening of every maimer, is usually in the image of maimarim that had already been delivered by the previous rabbeim. Most of the openings of maimarim are already in Torah Erden Lukut Torah. But as a rule, all of the openings of the thousands of maimarim that the Rebbe delivered did not have a new beginning. They were based on what was previously spoken of. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only maimer that opens up in a fresh way. There is no maimer from any of the rabbeim that starts with the words Lahavan Inyan Tchias HaMesim, to understand the concept of the resurrection. And so first of all, it's unusual. It opens unusually. But the thrust of the maimer is not a nuance or a deeper understanding or a more profound development of an already well-developed idea. This is a new path that does not appear in Chassidus at all. This is like a totally new approach to something that's dealt with somewhat extensively by the previous Rebbeim, but the direction that the Rebbe takes is entirely fresh, entirely different, entirely new. Anyway, we're not going to have a Maimer, but we'll learn at least the opening part of the Maimer. Lahavan Inyan Tchias HaMesim. The Maimer opens with the words to understand the notion of the resurrection. This, of course, is one of the principles of our faith. We have Ikrei Emunah, Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah, 13 principles of faith. The 13th principle is that those who lived will live again, and that God will resuscitate those who had passed on, and they will return. Now, when we talk about the resurrection, in other faith systems, they mean something else. So if somebody asks you if you believe in the resurrection, the answer might be no, because they have in mind a particular Jew of a particular era in a particular time, which we, of course, do not believe in. But if somebody asks you to believe in the resurrection, well, for Jewish people, the resurrection is a basic principle of faith, and it's the second bracha in our Shemoneh Esrei. I remember having a strange encounter. A guy said to me, "Rabbi, we don't believe in the resurrection, do we?" I said, "No, it's just the second bracha in our Shemoneh Esrei a few times a day." Like, what does that mean, we don't believe in it? But I know what he meant. So what is this about? Why is it necessary to come back to life? And if the afterlife is so delightful and so wonderful, and if the neshama is so much higher than the body, why does it need to be a resuscitation? Why does the soul have to return to the body altogether? The question that's asked usually in Chassidus is, here you have neshamas that are going mechayel lechoyel from level to level for thousands of years, like the neshamas of the Avos, or Moshe Rabbeinu, and then they have to come back into a body, and that's a virtue? Like how would that be? But the Rebbe begins this maimer by first going back to the Mishnah. The maimer is based on the Mishnah, very famous Mishnah, which is in the beginning of the 11th chapter of Masechet Sanhedrin, which is known as Perek Chelik. And the maimer, based on these opening words of the Mishnah, is Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelik La'ilam Haba. All of Yisrael, all of Israel, have a portion in the world to come. This is a well-known Mishnah, not only because it's a Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, but this is the Mishnah that we use as the preface to the recitation of Pirkei Avot during the course of the summer. So most people know this Mishnah. Of course, it's one of the 12 Pesukim. The Yidua, the Pirush Olam Haba, the Rebbe gets right into it and says, it's known that the meaning of all of Israel have a portion in the world to come, in this Mishnah is Olam HaTchiyah. In this Mishnah, it refers to the world, the future world of the resurrection. Now, this is not so simple. There is a dispute amongst the Rishonim what the Pshat in the Mishnah is. Some maintain that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Le'olam Haba means Gan Eden, the place the neshamas go to after they live here in this world. However, the vast overwhelming majority of the Mefarshim understand this Mishnah to refer to Olam HaTchiyah. And the Rebbe says it's Kidem Muchach Mehemshach HaMishnah. It's actually understood from the continuation of the Mishnah that after the Mishnah begins by saying Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelik le'olam haba. All of Israel have a portion in the world to come. The Mishnah immediately counters and says that's the rule, and here's the exception. V'elu she'ein lahem chelik le'olam haba. And these are those who don't have a portion in the world to come. And what there's a number of people who are listed who don't have a portion of the world to come. And one of them is Ha'aymer, the one who says, Ein t'chias ha'mesim min ha'teira. We don't believe in the resurrection. That's baloney. We don't accept that. The soul is dominant. The soul is prominent. It's all about soul. Body's a temporary thing. We're not coming back here. And there were many people who challenged this Jewish belief. There's in the Gemara and Perek Chelek, there's various encounters between heretics, between pagans who challenged the sages as the congruity of this faith, of this belief, of this principle. It doesn't seem to make sense. It flies in the face of other things that we believe in. And the Gemara defends this, and there's a lot to talk about, as they say, in that Gemara. But the point that's being made here is that the Mishnah, after giving us a rule, the rule is Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek. The rule is everybody has a portion, and every rule has exceptions. And what's one of the exceptions? Ha'oimer, the person who says, I don't believe in this. So Shatamal says, that's such a big sin. You're talking about a person who kept Shabbos, a person who ate kosher, a person who was kind and generous, a person who was careful and restrained in his behavior. Didn't believe in something. So he didn't believe in Tchias HaMesim. So what? A Jew who went through all emotions, what you would call today a fully observant Jew. He didn't believe in a detail. Therefore, he doesn't have a portion in eternity. Therefore, he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. He won't rise again. It seems like a punishment that's a bit harsh. Shahatam alzeh, the Gemara itself asked this question. Since when is like faith such a big deal? It hinges on a detail of faith. He believes in Hashem. He believes in punishment and reward. He believes in 12 principles. He believes in Mashiach. He anticipates Mashiach. He just doesn't think people are going to come back to life. Okay, so... So the Gemara explains, Kedisa b'Gemara, the Gemara says, Hu kafar b'tchias ha-mesim. He denies the notion of tchias ha-mesim. L'fichach l'yilei chelik b'tchias ha-mesim. You deny tchias ha-mesim? You have no portion of tchias ha-mesim. This is known as the divine Torah principle of Mida keneged Mida. Mida keneged Mida. Which means a measure elicits a measure.
So this person is totally erased from the face of the earth for eternity.
He's not going to return. Doesn't say he's erased in the face of the earth. He doesn't return.
What happens to his neshama?
What happens to all neshamas in Gan Eden?
No, okay. What happens to
this? I guess he's stuck in Gan Eden.
He's stuck in Gan Eden.
I guess. Doesn't say he's liberated. Doesn't say he's destroyed. It says he won't merit Chias HaMesim.
He's not going to come and party here, basically. He's not coming back to party here.
Say that's a gross oversimplification. And then some. Not coming back to party is a funny way to put it, but he's not going to merit Tchias HaMesim. It doesn't say his neshama is lost. It doesn't say he's cut off from his people. It says he won't merit the resurrection. That's what it says.
And there's no tshuva for it.
In general, once you finish in this world, there's no tshuva. You can't do tshuva in the other world. It's a very good idea to do tshuva now.
No.
That's the meaning of Shlomo HaMelech said, B'chol Eisya Begidecha Levonim. Make sure you wear white. So how come nobody wears white? If Shlomo HaMelech said you should wear white. You know how good you would look in white? The answer is it's a metaphor. The metaphor is that your garments, which are your Torah mitzvahs, that should be clean of any kind of toxins, the things that stains. How do you clean it?
Tshuva.
So b'chol eis, because nobody ain't other midah ita v'regov, nobody knows their time. So therefore, you should always live with tshuva. As they say, always live every day as it's your last. The Rebbe once said to somebody, why do you have to live every day as if it's your last? Instead, live every day as if Mashiach's coming today. As why live with the negativity of what they call in Latin, momento mori, the imminence of death? Instead, live with the imminence of redemption. So every day we should live with Mashiach's coming. You want to be caught to Japan's down when Mashiach comes?
No.
You got to be crazy. Right? So every time you want to sin, remember, Mashiach comes today. How are you going to look then? Mashiach will come and you just finished eating a pork sandwich? That's terrible. No, you don't want to greet Mashiach on a day like that. Okay, so avoid it altogether. You don't want to do any avodas. Yeah. But that's b'chol eisi b'derech levanim. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something?
Perhaps there's two meanings, en lo chelek. En lo chelek could be, he has no chelek, nothing. On the other hand, it could be, en lo chelek, only chelek you want to have. You will have everything, but something of it he will never have.
That's not the simple pshat is not that something of it he won't have. Chelik is a piece of it.
A piece of it he won't have.
A piece of it. So you don't have a piece of it, you don't have anything. A piece of it is not that big, by the way. We're not talking about a big piece. The Rebbe explained many times elsewhere that there's three expressions when it comes to Chiyas HaMeisim. One is Chelik Leilam Haba, and that's Kol Yisrael. Everybody gets a piece. It doesn't say how big a piece is. It could be a very small piece. The second is a Ben Olam Haba, like a Bar Bas Mitzvah, like this, like you're a master of this. You're a stakeholder, as they say. And the third is Mizuman Leilam Haba, where there's no interregnum. You don't have to evolve into the world of Leilam Haba, but it's natural. It's like a... So it's understood on both levels, understood also with regard to Gan Eden. It says, for example, that Rabbi Akiva, Yatzin Ishmasi Be'echad, that his soul it left his body at the cry of Echad, as he was tortured to death. And it says he was Mizuman Le'ilam Haba. He didn't need any engineering. He was perfectly ready for Le'ilam Haba. But of course, it gets a little bit funny, because over there, Le'ilam Haba seems to indicate Gan Eden, and here we're talking about the resurrection. It's not so simple that Le'ilam Haba means the resurrection. It's not so simple. There are many, many examples in Torah literature where Olam Haba means Gan Eden, the place where neshamas go after. The Rebbe's point is that this Mishnah, in the end, has to be talking about Olam HaTchiyah. Why does it have to be talking about Olam HaTchiyah? Because the very fact that a person who didn't believe in it doesn't get it, then that must be what this is about. It doesn't say a person doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim doesn't get Gan Eden. Why shouldn't he get Gan Eden? He learned Torah every single day of his life. He performed Tayag Mitzvahs. He did everything he's supposed to do. No Gan Eden for you. Why? Because you didn't believe in one of the principles of faith. Why shouldn't he get Gan Eden? He created a whole Gan Eden. Why shouldn't he claim it? But if you say a person doesn't believe in Olam HaTchiyah, doesn't get Olam HaTchiyah, this is Midah Keneged Midah. You didn't believe in the resurrection. You don't participate in the resurrection, because that's the way God works. A measure elicits a measure. There's a domino effect. Zehu, this then is the meaning of Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik Lelam Haba, that every single member of Yisrael has a portion of Olam Haba, of the world to come. The Began Eden, as the Rebbe points out here in the brackets, Shalapamim Nikra Gam Kim B'Shem Olam Haba. There are many times the Gan Eden is also called Olam Haba. In fact, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva calls it exactly that, in a halachic syntax. That's what he calls it. So, Afshe Yeshne Gam Achshav, even though Gan Eden is now too. So what do you mean, Olam Haba? The world to come? It's not to come. It's the world of now. It's a reality. Millions of neshamas, and they're all in Gan Eden. L'fi shabala Adam la'achar avaydasa b'Olam Hazeh. It's the world to come, not objectively, but subjectively speaking. It's not the world to come, meaning it doesn't exist, it will come. It's the world that will come to people when they finish their sojourn here on earth, if Chas V'Shalom Mashiach doesn't come first. That's the meaning of Olam Haba, the world to come. So about the Gan Eden that the Neshama merits after its terrestrial journey, Ksiv, it's written, Mi'ala Bahar Avaya, who is able to rise up in the mountain of God? This is how David HaMelech expresses himself in the 24th Psalm. And he says, who can go on the mountain of God, which is a euphemism, representing the idea of Gan Eden, Neki Chapayim Uvar Levov, a person whose hands are clean. That's another euphemism. What does it mean, clean hands? Clean hands. Didn't do anything wrong. Behave good. Hands are clean. People pick up their hands, you know, okay. Empty palms. They didn't take anything. So a person has clean hands. Or bodily love, a person who's a master of heart. He's stout-hearted. A person who's a master of heart, obviously is a person who has a full mastery over his emotions. Sheyeshnem kama tnoyim, that in other words, there are many conditions b'chadei lizkos leGan Eden. In order to merit going to Gan Eden, there are many conditions that have to be met first. If you meet these conditions, you will be allowed entry. You don't meet the conditions, you're in trouble. Masha'enkim b'nigeh le'ilu matchiyah. But when we talk about the world to come, the world that isn't yet, because it is yet to come, the world of the resurrection, Shabayu ikra Torah Olam Haba. The Rebbe says that's the primary use of the word Olam Haba. It's not that it's the world to come for people, but it's the world to come, period. A world that isn't yet. A world that will be. So that's the primary thrust of the meaning of the term. Olam Haba. About this we say, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelik le'olam haba. All of Israel has a portion. Okay, so the Rebbe just here laid the facts down. He laid the facts down. The Mishnah says Kol Yisrael. He explained the Mishnah. He demonstrates why that has to be the explanation of the Mishnah. And he notes the juxtaposition between Gan Eden, where entry is conditional, and Ilam Haba, where everybody's welcome. And that leads us into an obvious question. V'tzarech lahavin, this has to be understood. Hare yadua, it is well known, shahagilui shayya, the Ilam Atchia, that the proverbial revelation, this is the terminology that's used. Terminology is revelation. So the notion of something being brought forth, the reality that will be brought forth by Ilam Atchia, is far greater than what will be brought forth or what is proverbially revealed in the Garden of Eden, this place of where neshamas live. This can be understood from the fact that Gan Eden is now too. So if Gan Eden is now, you're saying brought forth, but it actually is. Gan Eden is. So it's not being brought forth. It's not being revealed. In other words, it's not beyond the purview of reality today. We can't see it. We're not part of it today. That's fine, because we're limited to a terrestrial reality. We're stuck in this three-dimensional world. It doesn't mean that it's beyond the reality or existence as we know it today. However, when we refer to the revelation or what will be brought forth in the world of resurrection, this is only a future that is yet to come. When Mashiach will come, that's when this reality will come to light. That's when it will come forth. So we can understand from this that it's beyond reality today. The reality that God created today does not contain the possibility of what we call Ilam Atchia. God will create new realities. But the reality as it is now cannot suffer the notion, cannot countenance the notion of a world of resurrection, which means a world in which a body will feed the soul, for example. A world in which there'll be no decay. A world in which the terrestrial reality will become more profound and more powerful than the spiritual reality. It doesn't exist such a thing today. This is a reality, this is a shift in reality which has yet to come. So we're talking about something which is extraordinary, beyond imagination. V'yaseidu mizu. It gets even deeper. It gets even more so. Hagilu de lamatchia yegam la'achre yemeis haMashiach. However amazing the coming of Mashiach is going to be, oy lamatchia is far greater. Oy lamatchia does not mean that there will be somebody who comes back to life. In history, there have been people who came back to life. In fact, the whole nation of Israel came back to life twice on one Shabbos morning. We read about it last week. When the Torah was given, the Jewish people expired. They ran 11 and a half kilometers and died of fright. And then Malachim came and coddled them and bounced them back to Har Sinai, and they brought back to life. And then God speaks again, Liyilucha. And again, the body and soul separated. It was too intense an experience. So really, the notion of resurrection was experienced en masse twice. But that's not Olam Hatchia. That's not the world of resurrection. A little boy died, and Elisha HaNavi brought him back to life. That's not the resurrection. The world of resurrection is not a person coming back to life. There have been stories of people who came back to life. There has never been a world of resurrection. Because when people came back to life, it was back to the life that they experienced and existed in before. The Jewish people, after having been brought back to life, still needed to eat. Boy, did they need to eat. They grumbled and kvetched. They felt the hunger. They were unhappy about it. They were eating this miraculous manna food, and they still were unhappy about it.
So when Mashiach comes, yeah, that's not when this will happen at the same
after,
time?
After Mashiach. Oh. The Zohar says that it will likely be 40 years. Although the Rebbe said many times that it could be in a much shorter way, it could be accelerated, it doesn't have to be. But it's in other words, it's a later period, but it doesn't have to necessarily mean a lapsing of a lot of time. It could be, it's a later period conceptually. It could be the first period will be very quick. We don't know that. Nobody will know that until Mashiach comes. But it is a later development.
It's not automatic.
Absolutely not. Definitely not. So it says that great tzaddikim will come back to life right away, but it doesn't, like it says, Moshe v'Aaron imam. Moshe Rabbeinu will be there, and we'll give Aaron truma. So if we're giving Aaron truma, that's not Olam Hatchia, because truma has to be eaten. That means an Aaron or the Kohen comes back, he's going to be eating truma. If Aaron or Kohen is eating truma, that's not Olam Hatchia. Olam Hatchia is no food. Olam Hatchia is a reality that we can't fathom. It's a reality that's beyond what we could imagine. In fact, it says b'meisim chavshi. It says that there will be no mitzvahs by Olam Hatchia. And Tosfos famously says that that's why you can bury a person in burial shrouds that are made of wool and linen, because when they be brought back to life, they'll be brought back to life with the same garments, the same shrouds they were buried in, and there won't be an issue then. So there's a very interesting rumination from the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains that when Mashiach will come, the world in and of itself will reflect the godly reality and truth instantaneously, which means that the wool and linen will automatically separate, or the linen will simply dissipate or disappear. Okay, this is a discussion like in and of itself, but the point is, mitzvahs as we know them are only for the present reality, even into the era of Mashiach, but not in the world of Eilu Matria. Eilu Matria, a whole different reality, something that's beyond what we could imagine. So the Rebbe says, if so, it's mizem moving from all this is understood, shahagiloi, sheyiyah, oz, the revelation that will be then, hu lemaila gam me'agiloi sheyiyah b'meis ha-Mashiach, is far greater than the revelation will be even in the time of Mashiach.
So there's a definition somewhere, a description somewhere, what is Olam HaTichya?
You cannot describe things that are not experienced. There are descriptions, but do we really know what that means? You know what it means that ha-neshama nizun me'haguf, that instead of giving life to the body, the soul will be enlivened or animated by the body. Why does the soul need life altogether? The soul is eternal. How will the soul be nourished by a body? Does it make sense to you?
The soul nourished by a body.
Yeah. So we don't really know what that means. We don't know what that means. It's like the Rambam explains that there's phenomena that we have no frame of reference for. It's impossible to understand. He says it's like a person who was born blind who will never understand the differences of one color and the other. You understand it, you experience it.
So why are we? Do we know about it? Why tell us about it?
Why tell us about it?
Yes.
Just because you don't know everything doesn't mean you can't know something. There's something called Yedias Hashlila. Yedias Hashlila means that you don't know about it. You can't, in a direct fashion, but at least you know what it isn't. There's some people who think that the world of the resurrection means 72 Virginians and endless partying. So at least we know that that's ridiculous. That helps to know. I just heard an interesting story last night that Shmuel Levitner, who was an elder chassid, was walking in the hallway of 70, and there was a group of Jews who had come from France then. Some group starting to come to the Rebbe, and he didn't speak any English. He was born and raised in Russia, later in the Soviet Union. He spoke Russian, Yiddish, Hebrew. Didn't speak any English whatsoever. He came to America, he lived in a bubble. So he walked by the hall and he heard these people speaking a language. He didn't know what the language was. So he said to Rabbi El Khan, he said, they're not speaking English. But I know it's not English, he said. He said, this is a marshal for Yediyas HaShlila. I know what it isn't. I don't know what it is, he said. But I know what it isn't. It's also something. It's a form of knowledge. Knowing what something is, and it's also knowledge. This is the meaning of what's recited. We say this every single Shabbos morning. We cannot compare to God in this world. There's nothing like you, nothing other than you. For the afterlife, which is Gan Eden, F is Biltecha. There is nothing beside you. In the days of Mashiach. And then we finish off. There is nobody compared to you. In other words, we go through four levels. Four levels explaining or talking of God's omnipotence and how it's impossible to understand or describe the reality of divinity. And what are the four periods we refer to? Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, the Mois HaMashiach, and Tchias HaMesim. So we understand there's four different madrigas, four different levels here. Then it's also understood Shadalad and Yonim Elu, that these four different levels are beseder de lamata lamaila. It's going higher and higher. Like, in other words, you would think that nobody could compare to God in this world. Okay, in this world. But Olam Haba, once we get to the world of the neshamas, a world that's divested of materialism, a world that's divested of terrestrialism, and that world already, now we start to get to know God. No, Einarech, don't even think. There's nothing to talk about. Ein Zulascha, there's nobody else like God. Okay, fine. At least Limay Samashiach will start to at least be in some level to be things. No, he says, and not only that, but Ein Deimelecha, even Letchias HaMesim. So yeah, it's understood these are one level beyond the next level. So this is then Lamaila Yesim Agilish Yachalias Belam Haza. The notion of Eilu Matria is beyond what we could imagine in this world. So over there, obviously, Gan Eden is Eilu Haba refers to Gan Eden over there. And we're saying that then there's a higher revelation than Gan Eden, and that's the Gilui, the revelation of Yemesim Mashiach. And then there's the revelatory reality, or the, what's brought into existence by Tchias Yemesim. And God is beyond that too. So in other words, from the fact that we go along the stepped levels, we can understand that Tchias Yemesim is beyond anything fathomable. It's the greatest of the great. So what's the question? The question is, in order to merit Gan Eden, you have a whole checklist to fill out. A whole bunch of conditions have to be met. But Gan Eden is not even so big. To get to Ilam Haba, Ilam Atchia, which is far greater, free pass. Everybody goes. Doesn't make sense. You can get to a lower level, that's very difficult to get in. Not everybody's let in. The higher Madrega, this, the door is wide open, everybody merits it. It doesn't seem to make sense. How does that work? It should be even harder to get into Ilam Atchia, not easier. And this is the big question. Besides the fact that why would you need such a world? Fine, that's another question. But the question is, how is it possible that that world, which is so much greater, has no conditions for entry? So the Rebbe brings down now the beer that says in Chassidus. This is the beer that's brought down. It's an explanation that's found in Torah Ur, Parshas Yisrei, in this last week's Torah portion. It's the Tzemach Tzedek elaborates on this in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Derech Mitzvasecha. There's a Maimarim from the Rebbe Rashab about this, a Maimarim from the Friedrich Rebbe about this. And it all follows the same approach. And the Rebbe is going to say, he's going to tell you what it is, and tell you why it can't be, and then he's going to introduce us to a new understanding of the concept of Ilam Atchia. Nekudas Echad HaBiurim Bezeh. The point of one of the explanations, this is Kimavur B'Kamadrushim, as explained in many of the expositions, the Memorim of Chassidus. Shaschar de Gan Eden, that's the reward of Gan Eden, who al Eisek HaTeira. Gan Eden is the result of the Torah you studied. Haschar de Tchias HaMesim, the reward of the resurrection, is al Kiyom HaMitzvahs, on the fulfillment of mitzvahs. And that's why Gan Eden is for the world of Neshamas. Neshamas souls, Neshamas b'lo gufim, souls divested of bodies. But in the future, resurrection, the future world, there'll be neshamas big gufim. You'll have souls in bodies. Why? The engagement in Torah study, understanding Torah, knowing Torah, teaching Torah, appreciating Torah. Shayach b'ikar la'neshama. This is a consciousness thing. It's not a bodily thing. You don't do it with your hands and feet. You do it with your mind. You do it with the consciousness. So it's easy to understand that you study Torah in this world, you study Torah in the other world. But kiyum mitzvahs, the fulfillment of mitzvahs, how do you do that? That's laguf, that's a bodily thing. How do you eat matzah in Gan Eden? There is no matzah in Gan Eden. There's no stomach, there's no mouth. You can't eat matzah in Gan Eden. How do you give tzedakah? With what? There's no money, there's no currency in Gan Eden. How do you light Shabbos candles? You can't. How do you put on tefillin? You can't. You can't do any of these things in Gan Eden. So in other words, for these things you need a guf, for these things you need a body. And because when it comes to learning Torah, well, not everybody learns Torah. There are some people who are totally ignorant. They don't know Allah from a base. But every yid does mitzvahs. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says it. Our sages say, Afilu Pesha Yisrael, even the sinners amongst Israel. We got a few of those. But even the sinners amongst Israel, Meleim mitzvahs kerimen, they're full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Even a sinner. Lachain, therefore, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek lelam haba. The question was, how can it be not every Jew merits the world of Gan Eden, but every Jew merits Elam Haba? So the Bir and Chassidus is very simple. Not every Jew learns Torah. And because not every Jew learns Torah, how's he going to get into Gan Eden? If you have no consciousness, if you have no framework, if you have no Torah studied in this world, you can't do anything in Gan Eden. That's the currency of existence in Gan Eden. It's based on consciousness, knowledge, and awareness of God. No knowledge and awareness of God, you're out of luck. But mitzvahs, everybody's got mitzvahs. And because everybody's got mitzvahs, l'chein kol yisrael, yesh l'chilek l'lam haba. V'yesh leimer. The Rebbe now adds a nuance in that explanation, which is already advanced by his predecessors. The zeo gam hashem amshul b'mishnah, this is also actually why the Mishnah continues after you say, kol yisrael, yesh l'chilek l'lam haba. Shenemar, because it's stated, and here we're going now to scripture, to the prophecy of Isaiah, the Amich kulam tzadikim. Your nation is full of righteous tzadikim, full of righteous individuals. La'ilum Yeshuaras, they will inherit the land, which refers to the land or existence of the future. The Yeshleimar, the Rebbe says, Kavanas HaMishnah, we could say that the intention of the Mishnah here, B'Shenemar, when it says Shenemar, because it's written, Leirak Lahavi Rayal Zeshekol Yisol Yeshleim Chilik Lalam Haba. It's not only, the Mishnah is not only seeking to buttress its statement, to prove the veracity of what it said, every Jew will have a portion in the world to come. How do you know that? Shenemar, because it says, V'amech Kulim Tzadikim. If everybody's righteous, for sure they have a portion of the world to come. So the Rebbe says, no, no, no. It's not just simply proving it, but it's actually explaining it. It's gam levar hatam al zeh. Why indeed does every Jew have a portion of the world to come? Do you know why? Do you know why every Jew has a portion of the world to come? Because it does mitzvahs. How do you know it does mitzvahs? Because misha mekayim mitzvah, a person who fulfills a mitzvah, is called a tzaddik. Not like the tzaddik of Tanya, not like the, you know, the title of tzaddik. A tzaddik. You say, oh yeah, could you pass me that? You're such a tzaddik. It's a euphemism. Why would he be called a tzaddik? The chola mitzvahs nikrayim b'shem tzedakah. The code name for mitzvahs is tzedakah. And therefore, mekayim mitzvahs, those who fulfill mitzvahs, which are called tzedakah, are called tzaddikim. The noun is tzedakah. So then, the pronoun, if you will, or people who are doing this thing, maybe it's an adverb. What do they get called? They are tzaddikim. Very simple. V'kiva ch'ma'amech kulum tzaddikim. Because everybody's tzaddikim. Don't get carried away. Not such a big tzaddik. But you all do mitzvahs. Shekol Yisrael, all of Israel. Afilo apeshim. Even the sinners. All present company excluded. Nobody has a big sinner. But nonetheless, even the sinners. Mekayim mitzvahs. They all do mitzvahs. Not only they do mitzvahs, hey meleim mitzvahs, they're packed with mitzvahs. They're overflowing, filled with mitzvahs. And the Rebbe gives us a beautiful understanding of this meaning. What do you mean they're filled? What does it mean filled with mitzvahs? The ha-mitzvahs shemekayim, whatever mitzvahs they do, memalem is kol mitzvusim. It fills their being. The mitzvah fills them. You know, that's who he really is. He thinks he's one person or the other, but who he really is, what really lights his candle? The mitzvah really fills him. Like the stories of people who in the last moments of their life, they start looking at life and the only thing they find comfort in is the mitzvah they did. It's because that's what ultimately fills their life. L'chein lo'ilum yirshu aretz. That's why they get, they inherit the land. What's aretz? Eretz ha'chayim, the land of life. The land of life refers to eternal life. Chayilum haba. So what's wrong with that? Beautiful explanation. The Rebbe says, omnam. If that's the case, Alpiza Tzarach Lahavim, we'd have to understand the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah also quotes the end of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk is Netzer Matoy, these are my handiwork, my Seyadi Lehisper. This is my planting, my handiwork with which I'm proud. Harezesh Yisrael Him Netzer Matoy, my Seyadi Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that we are the shoot, the planting of God, the fact that God takes pride in us because we are, is not because of what we do, but rather because we are. You love your child and say, this is my child. It's not you love your child because my child did A, B, C, or D, or none of the above, or did all kinds of bad things. Why do you love your child? Because it's your child. Why does God love us? Because we're his children. He says, listen, look at my yidolach. So nobody else thinks they're beautiful, but their mother does. A doctor once told me, yeah, your baby's beautiful. I said, doctor, please, you tell it to every father and every mother. He says, no, I don't. I said, right. What do you tell a mother or father whose baby's ugly? He says, I say, the baby looks just like you. So the point here is that the Mishnah goes on to quote the end of the verse, which indicates that God is enamored with us, not because of what we do, but because of who we are. Who we are. And the question then is, if that's not relevant, why would the Mishnah bring the end of the Pasuk? The Mishnah doesn't quote entire Pasukim. The Mishnah will quote pieces of a Pasuk. The part of the Pasuk that's relevant for the Mishnah. And b'zem mashma, for this it seems, the kol Yisrael, yesh lam chelik l'olam haba, hu gam etzad ha'mayla shabem. That you know why Yisrael has olam haba? Do you know why? Why?
Because God created us.
Just because God created us, exactly. Because we are. Not because of what we did. So the earlier explanation was, it's about the mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs we all have. Torah we may not have, but mitzvahs we have. But the Mishnah says no. Olam haba is contingent on being. Just don't uproot the Yisrael from you, from within you. As long as you don't destroy the image of Yisrael, as long as you remain a Yisrael, you already have Elam Haba. It's, in other words, this is something you could actually remove, God forbid, but you're born with it. This is not a reward, this is who you are. You could destroy who you are. There is always chutz, there's people who will destroy themselves, Rahman al-San. But you are, by virtue of being, a portion of the world to come.
Can you do mitzvahs if you destroy yourself, or is it you have to be, the mitzvahs
are... Listen, there are certain evil people, like, who can't be anymore. There is a... Mishnah talks about that. So what then is the explanation? So the Rebbe says something which is new, never spoken of before, ever. The Rebbe says, Yesh Leimar, it seems to me, Shebehagilui Sheyiyeh B'tchiyas HaMesim Shnei Inyonim, that when we come to the future, the resurrection is going to be two distinctly different dimensions. There is the schar, there is a reward element for Aveda of Kiyama Mitzvahs. There's a remuneration for mitzvahs that were done. The Amir Kulim Tzadikim, your nation is all Tzadikim. And then there's the Hamshaches Shem Shichu. This is what the Jewish people accomplished through the performance of mitzvahs. Achshav, what they do now, Tia Oz Begali, like it says, the mitzvahs we do now is like making a deposit in the RSP. You can't use it now. You don't get to see it. It's not reflected in your bank statement, but it's there for you. When you need it, it will be there for you. All the mitzvahs we do, we generate energy, and the energy is as if squirreled away in a special place. And there it remains for us. When Mashiach will come, it'll be revealed. But through that revelation, through the reality of our mitzvahs being laid bare and being developed, through this, Yis'alu Acharkach will be elevated after L'madrega Yis'anilis to a higher level. Do you know what that level will be? Shetizgala ma'alosan shal Yisrael v'tzad atzman. Then will be revealed the virtue of Yisrael, not by virtue of what Yisrael does, but the virtue of what Yisrael is. In other words, the deepest relationship between a parent and child is not what the child does, although we all like to have nachas from our children, but rather but who the child is, because the child is. That's the deepest level of connection. The deepest level of our relationship with God is not contingent on what we do, but rather who we are. And that will be revealed in as we develop in the world of Elam HaTchiyah. The Rebbe is pioneering a new concept here, that Olam HaTchiyah actually has two levels. There's the opening reality of Olam HaTchiyah. There's the resurrection, which will be a built of reward, crafted of mitzvahs performed during millennia. And then that will elevate all of us into a state in which who we are becomes revealed in the profoundest way, and every Jew is part of that. Because if he is, then he's part of it. And the Rebbe goes further and he says, Yes, Lahaysef, we can add not only that this is the case. First, the Rebbe says, this is the meaning, Shet Tizgalam Alasan, that's the continuation of the Mishnah. Shenema Ve'amach Kulam Tzadikim refers to the performance of mitzvahs. And then we finish off the Pasuk, Neitzer Matoy Maisi Yadili Yispoir. This is my planting. This is my shoot. This is that I delight and I'm proud because of who they are. This is higher than what's brought about through mitzvahs. Having nachas from children is a wonderful thing. There's only one thing greater. Delighting in the children themselves. The love that parents have for the small baby is the most, the profoundest love, right? They make googly faces and it melts from the baby. You look at the child when he's a teenager, you don't melt. I mean, you melt from fear for maybe, but you know, it's not the same. That the relationship is like, it's unparalleled. And that relationship with a baby, that relationship they have with that, the essence of just the child because of who the child is, that's the kind of relationship we're going to have with Hashem eventually as we move into the next level of resurrection. And the Rebbe says that is the primary thrust of Elam Haba. Elam Haba is really not the primary thrust of Elam HaTchiyah, is not reward, but the primary thrust of Elam HaTchiyah is the notion that we will exist in a closeness with God, not because of what we did, which is ultimately superficial, but ultimately because of who we are. And that's the highest level. And he says, because there's a level of reward already in Yemei Mashiach, in which we could say then that the world of the resurrection is on the same continuum of the coming of Mashiach. It's the same thing, only more so. We're seeing the result of our efforts. However, Olam HaTchiyah is moving into a whole new reality in which the essence of Yisrael is laid bare, and the deepest part, most profoundest part of our relationship with God comes to light. And this is just the opening part of the Maamar. The Maamar goes on. And anyway, and this is a little something, as they say. May we merit it speedily and in our days. Amen.